Hey everybody, thanks for jumping on board this week. I'm Phil Pringle, your host, and we're talking all things church and leadership on our C3 Church Global podcast, which comes out every Wednesday. And please hit subscribe so that we can be arriving in your inbox each week with fresh content and extremely relevant content from our team here at C3SYD and from around the world, our global team. And we're talking all kinds of things that cover every area we can think of in church life that'll help leaders, teams, connect group leaders, everything through church worship and every other area concerning volunteers, etc. So we love sharing this because we know that building the church is in the heart of God. And today we are really blessed because we've got two of God's finest servants sitting here in the podcast studio, which is Pat and Amanda Ancliffe, long-term friends of mine and Chris's. And it's so good to have you guys here.
No, it's great to be here.
Great to be here.
Yeah, well, we've had too much fun over the years, working together, laughing together, eating together, partying together. I think that's a pretty important part of team life.
32 years.
I was adding it up myself. 32 years. So there's got to be a lot of fun and shared experience to do that sort of length of journey together.
Yeah.
Right. I know things about you, Pat, that I don't think anybody else, well, hardly anybody else
well,
in the world.
Well, maybe me.
Yeah, you would, Amanda.
Didn't we just sign some sort of disclosure agreement here?
They're not bad things. They're just things that people would not imagine about you. Mm-hmm. You do an amazing imitation
of Peter Garrett.
Of Peter Garrett and a bird's oil, burning. Because yeah. you got the head to match.
Exactly.
And, Amanda is brilliant as a life coach and helping people get their world together.
Yep.
In all sorts of ways. What do you find the biggest area you're helping people with these days, Amanda?
Oh, probably I coach around two main areas. One is self-awareness, because if someone doesn't really know their purpose, then they're going to be frustrated. So it's helping them know purpose and where they best fit. And then it's probably getting the most out of their day, organizing time, priorities.
Well, you must be pretty good at that because you also – a part of our team here, and from my view, you work hard.
I do work hard.
You work hard.
Thank you. I work smart. I try and work smart. So
you
that's
do.
Important.
You do a full job, you know, in terms of what you do for us, and then you do the coaching.
Yeah.
So you obviously are living what you're teaching. Getting your act together, getting organized.
I think that's really important as a pastor.
I can witness to it. She does. Yeah.
I have to say though, I used to be terribly disorganized. If I look back at myself,
so how'd you get organized?
Well, the Lord said, prepare yourself. He said, I'll prepare your way, but you need to prepare yourself. And one of those preparations was to get organized. And back in those times, I had my photos were in a mess. That was when photos were pre-digital. Yes. So he said, get your photos in order. He also said, you're hopeless at remembering birthdays. So I had to find a system of remembering birthdays. He blew up in my mind's eye, my little calendar that was sticking on my wall. He said, you got to get a better calendar system, diary system. So just learning some principles of time management was really important.
Well, we should do that on another podcast.
Yeah, that'd be
definitely
good.
And so way back, these guys did the unthinkable. With a one-year-old child, they heeded the call to plant a church in Cebu.
That's right.
So in the Philippines.
In the Philippines. Yeah, foreign nation. How old were you, Pat?
Let me 30. Think. 30.
And I was 28.
Hey. Okay. And you had your one-year-old.
And we had our one-year-old daughter.
Jacinta.
Jacinta. And, yeah, you asked us to go. It was really a
I avoided saying that because I thought I'm not sure how people have responded. I've done a podcast with Mark Kelsey, and that was a similar thing. But in there we were talking about church planning comes out of a number of various motivations, and that's one of them. And to tell you the truth, it is possibly the one area that has the least amount of failure. In fact, it'd be hard for me to think of one that has. Mm-hmm. If I am feeling that we need to go and start something somewhere, then we we do it. But when people come to me and say, I want to go and start a church here, and I get a twang.
Mm. Yeah.
I get a twong instead of a twang right. on the inside of me. I go like, oh, and they convince you and they're going to do it anyway. And so you want to keep the relationship and you kind of go, oh, right. But I'm never really that happy with yeah. that. And so those days are gone. I just say, well, no. I'm not into it. I'm sorry.
Well, I think God prepared us in a different way for that ask. Because we were actually thinking that the Lord was preparing us to go to Cambodia. Wow. And we'd been there twice.
Wow. Mm.
And we had a moment of consecration, which was, well, God, if you're asking us to go, we're up for it. And it was just like that got the ship moving. Mm-hmm. Mm. But then when you asked us to go to Cebu City in the Philippines, okay. it was just the rudder steered us into steered a different nation.
Got it.
Yeah, it was like God had prepared our heart. I have to share too that you know, as a wife, we were quite young married and Pat fell in love with his country, Cambodia. And no other nation had ever been put on my heart. It was like I don't even want to think about that. And it kind of actually freaked me out as his wife. And I was like, God said, well, are you going to jump on board or are you going to let him run on that course on his own? And I went, okay, I think I better jump on board. So together we started to explore Cambodia and we even started to learn the language. Mm, and but it was definitely something that the Lord was preparing us for over steps.
Yeah. Do you know an interesting thing is that we have churches in Cambodia.
I know.
We do.
And, how cool is that?
And there's, well, it's like I once had a burden for New York City and we never actually planted a church there, but Mark and Bernadette Kelsey did, and now Josh and Georgie have
amazing.
Done that. I've never really thought about that. Yeah. That's
yeah. So maybe the burden needs to be born in someone's heart.
Yeah,
who's ready to go, yep. and out of that comes an apostolic mission mm-hmm. and calling.
Love that. Mm-hmm.
So, what were the toughest things about being once you landed and you're there with the 1 year old and?
Oh, it was tough. It certainly wasn't living in Sydney. There were so many just lifestyle differences, cultural differences. It was super hot. Our daughter at the time was not even one. She reacted quite severely to the weather. We lived fairly frugally, so we couldn't afford things like disposable nappies back then. Wow. So we didn't have a washing machine, I don't think, for about 5 months. So I was hand washing cloth nappies. We didn't have a car for about four months. Mm. So we were jumping on jeepneys with quite a heavy baby, which was interesting. you know, culturally there were moments where there's just different values. So. Right.
So church planting is quite a glamorous.
Definitely not glamorous.
Quite a glamorous.
Definitely not glamorous.
I know that Pat is talking about having troubles in starting a church there as well. I mean,
I would call them trials.
Planting a church does have trials, right?
Yes.
But I think that without them, you're not going to actually see much of a church get going.
Oh, it's 100%. And I think you were aware then that, you know, when you've got the babe, there will be contention. This is a brand new church and that there would be a fight. And you came with Greg French and visited us just in those early months. And we were having a meal together and just around that meal you said, oh, so Pat and Amanda, have you guys ever faced a trial? And we offered up a few ideas of what we thought might constitute a trial. And you just sort of smiled and nodded because at best they were medium challenges. And then it wasn't all that long after that that we discovered we weren't working with the right guy. Now, there was learning curve in that for us. We never checked him out. There's just a few people said, oh, he's a great guy and he's charismatic and he preaches well and, yeah, work with him and he can be the pastor and... If we'd looked a little bit, we would have found out that he's working with other organisations, getting full-time wages. He just wanted to add our wage to that one. And so that whole scenario after a few months went really difficult where he started to accuse us of a whole raft of things. And indeed, we ended up in court. Hmm. And he knew he had us over a barrel because in this particular area, foreigners never really won. And so he had us over a barrel. It was not looking good. the first time we went into court, all these accusations were made, and I was waiting for my turn to talk to the judge about my view. And the judge looked at me after the accusations were made and said, "Mr. Ancliffe, why have you done all these things?" I just thought, my goodness, I've got a jail ministry coming up here. This is not looking great. But within a matter of weeks after, you know, it was really bad then, but within a matter of weeks, we were able to get on with church. Mm. This guy left to do his own thing. And the beautiful thing, if I just say this, is, you know, C3 Cebu now is strong.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's a great church. Yeah. Jake Betlam, our C3 Southeast Asia regional director, even a couple of weeks ago just said, you know what, that church is going really well. And the pastors, Janet and Ian, well, Janet, while all those difficulties were happening those years ago, she was a little girl in kids' church.
Incredible.
And so she's now the pastor. So what God does when you have no idea.
It is amazing. And it takes time.
Right.
It does.
But what would you guys learn out of that? From hearing it, I would think trust has to be earned.
Right.
And prove all things before you appoint people to any position. Check them out. And,
yeah.
Look 100%. Into it a bit
more. Yeah.
Yes, if only we had learned the lesson of the laying on of hands being one slowly. That you do slowly.
I think we had lessons to learn too on cultural leadership, leading in a different culture.
Yes, what would you think the main ones are?
In the Asian culture, it's very much a shame culture. So people will say, yes, I'm with you, but they're possibly not.
Yeah, and it is embarrassing to say, I'm not with you.
Exactly.
That's
to
it.
Your face. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
it. So we learned over the years to ask questions, open-ended questions rather than yes, no questions.
Yeah. How are you feeling about this? So there was no embarrassment in getting out of it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I think even just the fact that you should learn about culture, we were really... you know, we'd done connect groups before we went. We'd led youth before we went. We had been lay pastors before we went. So we had all manner of training, but nothing about cross-cultural ministry. Mm. And so therefore, I think I've heard you say in the past about your first pastoring, you know, what had they done that they were the people that we pastored first off? And I'm thinking about these guys in Cebu. They weren't just the first people we led in a church. We were learning about culture and making every mistake under the sun.
Yeah.
But they were gracious and they taught us and it was good.
You know, it's a really big issue actually, the idea of cross-culture ministry, because it's not just about going to the Philippines. It's going to X generation.
Exactly.
It's going to the mature generations. Mm. Within our own society, we definitely have cultural arenas that what we can deliver and who we can reach is limited by our cultural setup.
Experiences.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And so for me, the way that I have attempted to bridge that is to have as wider level of culture on our team.
It's good.
So that I can patch with the community around us. Now, you're not going to cover everybody, but definitely, like, even here in Sydney, people won't cross a bridge down the road. Mm. Psychologically, it's another zone. Up there, you've got bends in a road.
Right.
Psychologically, that's, we live up here, nobody can come here. We've actually proven in both those areas, like if I say Mossman and Avalon, that you can actually... We can have a ministry into another cultural area of Sydney.
Right.
It's true.
And it works. And you guys have overseen our multi-site initiative.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in terms of talking that through, which has become a very popular way, we've made some mistakes and we've learned through the process. What do you guys think is the biggest things that we need to know, that anybody needs to know who's going into multi-site?
Well, it's a great question. I mean, there's so much out there about this particular thing. I'll probably start right at the beginning that the why needs to be right.
Right.
You don't go into multi-site because other churches are doing it. You don't go into multi-site because it'll be exciting or a new initiative. It really needs to be bedded down that there is a mission to a city and for us to reach this city or this region or a greater place than our one location can reach, we need to not just be here, we've got to be there.
Right.
Mm.
And so when that is the reason, then all the challenges of going multi-site are worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think, Amanda, with the team that goes to a multi-site?
Yeah, I think multi-site, there has to be a real sense of oneness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love the idea of one when you get married. You're two separate people, but there's a spirit of oneness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the same in a multi-site church.
That's awesome.
You have different locations that will have their unique personality and culture because of the location that they're in, but there has to be a oneness in the heart of we are one church. And well, I guess some of the challenges that we've had is we adopted a couple of locations, and I think that was has been a little bit tricky. So my sense of multi-site is it's better to birth locations than adopt locations, and because you have that similar DNA when you birth locations, and I think there's just a beauty in having that sense of one.
Yep.
Which brings
unity. That's perfect. And I mean, it's a challenge to keep that, and I think it calls for vigilance, doesn't it?
It does.
Because you can't think, well, I've had one teaching staff meeting on unity.
Mm.
That'll fix it. It actually doesn't fix it. You've got to be on it all the time. And from my experience, like in this area of going multi-site where it's worked and hasn't worked, I think the leader of that particular congregation is key.
Yes.
Or the leaders. And I think a teachability and plus a sense of stewardship over ownership.
Yes.
So I'm gonna actually be an A-team player.
Mm.
I'll be here for a while. Mm. I might be somewhere else for a while. And this isn't mine.
Yeah.
This is, it belongs to us as this church, C3SYD.
Yeah.
And whatever other churches are assuming in that whole process. I think that the teachability and the sense of not owning are probably two
really
keys,
good.
Right?
Yeah, I love the stewardship principle. I love Joseph. He was renowned for stewarding well someone else's property.
There you go.
And he was very successful
there
at
you
it.
Go.
He did it in the three areas. Well, he did it first for his father's sheep, and then he did it in the prison and Pharaoh's palace and started at Potiphar's.
Mm.
And I think it's a similar principle in a multi-site location that the senior pastor, in this case yourself, is the senior pastor, and you're like the chief shepherd and you give a flock to someone to look after, but it's not their flock, it's the chief shepherd's flock. it's your flock. And so stewarding that well, because I know the location pastors that we have are under us or with us, they have very much a pastoral heart and responsibility and calling to their location, but still recognizing it's not my flock, it's Pastor Phil's flock.
And I think from my point of view, the overseer, the senior minister, you've got to respect their contribution to it. And it's easy to do if they're holding it lightly.
Mm. Yeah.
But if you're having to sort of pull on it all the time, it is creates an unnecessary tension.
It's true.
I think this is definitely a filter, though, that Jesus looks at as to see whether he can give you what is your own.
That's right.
It's true.
Because he says, look, when I'm selecting leaders, I look at how you handle money, how you handle little things, and how you handle what belongs to another person.
Mm.
Right.
And so then he says, if you don't handle what belongs to somebody else, who's ever going to give you what your own?
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, you used that word stewardship before, and it is so important, I think, when you are on a team and you're leading teams.
Right.
And it maybe is a bit more apparent when you're in a mono-site church and say you're leading a department. You get this department is a part of the bigger thing. You hope you get it. Because if you don't, then it silos and it becomes its own culture. And it becomes division. It goes in its own direction and its own culture. The challenge of multi-site is you're not just running another department on the same geographical location. It's over there.
Yes.
And as soon as you're over there, it can just feel that much more isolated, that the sense of I'm doing something here on behalf of my senior pastor and I'm stewarding authority that's been given by the senior pastor to me to lead here, that is something that I think you just never stop talking about.
Right. And language is important, right? Oh,
language is hugely important.
It is. Culture is created by language.
That's it.
And it can take a while.
Yeah.
Like we used to call them hubs.
Campuses.
Or we'd say C3 Oxford Falls has a church over there.
Yes.
But that was really emphasizing an isolation and a distinctness, yes, rather than one church, many locations.
Right.
So now it's C3SYD with many locations.
Yeah, and we opted for the word location.
That's right.
Yes.
For us personally.
And
we've
grappled with language.
Yes.
In everything we've
you
done.
You do. I've noticed that.
So when we do NextEd, when we do Connect, we actually write language documents. So we are all saying the same thing.
Give us some of the key words.
Well, let me talk about values. We've got five key values: committed to growth, faith-filled, spirit-led, make it better together.
And so these are all sort of like hashtag things that you can put on anything.
Yeah, and it's been a really good process because we did that collaboratively. We actually got together with all the location pastors and looked at our language and our values, and then we've done it with NextEd, we've done it with Connect, etc. So our
We originated that idea of the Connect group
years ago
because they were called house churches.
That's
yes,
right.
Small groups.
Home fellowships.
Home Bible
groups,
studies.
Home Bible.
Yeah.
So care groups. Care groups is a pretty good word, but it, you know, leans a little bit towards the idea that we're fixing people up or, you know.
Yeah.
And that's good. That's good, but that's only one dimension of what we do. So I think the idea of connection is very important because of the Ephesian concept of every member joined
exactly
together. Yeah. And so to bond, people need to be in a smaller setting.
That's right, it.
Of less than large numbers of people, less than 10. Mm. And then to laugh together, eat together, and cry together.
Exactly.
Pray together.
Or pray together. Any emotional bonding is going to happen when those elements are happening.
Yeah, it's really the key is a big church can be community if it's also a small church.
Right.
And creating these groups where you can be authentic with each other, you build trust, you can say things like, hey, guys, I'm not doing so well. Can you pray for me?
Yeah.
Now, that takes a bit of sowing into relationship to get to that point. So it's not just, you know, immediate.
But that sort of language makes it easier. Just what you said then. Hey, guys, I'm not doing so well. I mean, it doesn't need to be a full-blown confession of some, you know, dark and sinister area of life. And so I think people get freaked out about being vulnerable in a small group because they haven't got the script.
Yes.
And just it helps people if you just say, hey, I'm not doing okay. Hey, before I get too messed up, can you guys pray for me?
Mm.
You know, look, can you and help me understand. Instead of blasting everybody, I don't like what's going on here, it's saying, help me understand.
Yes.
Yeah.
Something I'm wrestling with that we're doing. And so then it keeps it in a conversation. And I think that just helping people with those language scripts actually enables deeper connections.
Yeah. A lot of this year I have done, like COVID year, tough year, difficult, unsettling, disorientating, you know, all those words. And I have been in a guys connect group. And these are guys that are in business. They're in corporate settings. Some businesses got really challenged. There was some, their business dried up in a week.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, as soon as there was a lockdown, their business dried up.
Right.
But what I saw was guys resilient during this time because of this very thing that we're talking about now.
Beautiful.
That they could say, you know what, guys, I've lost every client these last 2 weeks, but can you pray for me? And then someone would get a word of encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
Someone would pray into exactly the situation that was needed. And then here we are months later, and they're all strong. They're all standing up. They're doing well. It's massive.
I love it.
It's great.
That's the church in essence, isn't it? Hey, look, Amanda, I'd like to just let people know what your life coaching address or how do you contact?
Mypersonalcoach.biz, B-I-Z.
Awesome.
Thank you.
And we also have an online college, people. Pat used to be the director of that C3 College, which has various departments and streams in it. And we cover so many areas to do with training in church life. Tell us, Pat.
It's massive. Like every conceivable area of theological development, ministry development. This is what doesn't happen in a lot of colleges, but we do it really well. Leadership development, and indeed much of the teaching you do in the college is around that area of leadership development. Also, the areas that are like the X factors, you know, character, attitude. So that is all there, and it's so accessible because not only is it on campus, but it is online, and it is done really, really well.
Now, we're sitting in a studio recording today. We have three studios on site here. One is a small audio recording. This is a student's recording studio. Man, it's a beautiful place. And so we do arts at all kinds of levels.
Exactly. So we are sitting in this beautiful creative space. And around the campus here, we've got creative spaces for musicians. So there's voice and there's places where drummers can go berserk and there can be a class happening down the corridor and it's all okay because it's soundproofed.
Yeah. And the beauty of online too is that you can do internships within your church.
Incredible. Because we have hundreds of churches who use our online course as their Bible college.
That's it. Right. It's the best way to
train. So they have interns who attend the online course, which includes yourselves teaching.
Yes.
Myself, Mark, Kelsey, all these guys.
A lot of leaders actually from throughout the C3 movement.
Right.
So not just C3 SYD, but a lot of regional directors. The certificate four is nominally 1 year if you're doing full-time. The diploma is nominally 2 years.
Right.
But sometimes, depending on the ministry load and everything else, people extend it out. Just enjoy the journey and keep doing it.
Yeah, so I urge anybody who's hungry to be part of a team or to be developing leadership or even to do a refresher course on your Christianity to actually log on to c3churchglobal.com and you'll get information about the Bible College.
Yes.
And we'll make sure that you get some information to help you develop whatever it is you're seeking to increase your proficiency in terms of ministry and calling in terms of serving God. Hey, look, guys, once again, thank you for being with us today. It's been such a pleasure talking with you and talking with Pat and Amanda Ancliffe, two of the heroes of the faith, no doubt about it. We love you. We're looking forward to seeing you again next week. Don't forget to subscribe, hit that rate and review button. We'd like to know how we're doing and how we can improve and do better. And make sure you're following myself, Phil Pringle, on Instagram, or my wife, Chris A. Pringle. You'll be able to catch up with news, what we're doing during the week, et cetera, et cetera. Hey, looking forward to talking again with you next week. See you then.